Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
Sing it this time without the music, and I want you to think about the words of that song and what it's talking about now. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning. Hey, that's going to be a day, folks.
Yeah. Amen.
And we better be getting ready because it's coming. It's coming. If you're not here today, you're not born again. Today's today. Let's sing that chorus again. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord for you being here. We have any first-time visitors with us this morning? Anywhere in the building? I don't see any hands going up anywhere. I tried to wear a bright shirt this morning so it would shine more than my face does. So y'all just bear with me. I got today is the last day of this medication, and then I go back to the doctor on Tuesday. So I told him at work that he asked me, one guy asked me, said, what in the world happened to you? I said, well, we had a fire there close to the house. I had to rush in and save a little boy. He said, really? I said, no, but I still got my hair and my eyelashes. What do you think? So, I told him that was not so. But anyhow, it is good to see you this morning. Thank the Lord for you being here. And it's a time of worship this morning. It's a time of remembering what God has done for us. It's a time to lift his name up and honor him. But you know, it's not just on Sunday morning we should do that. We should do it every day of the week. Because he's still the God of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not just Sunday. Amen. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Thank you again, once again, for being here. I didn't see any visitors anywhere. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this time. Ask him to visit us. And then the choir is going to sing. Father, I do thank you. Well, the awesome privilege, Lord, of being able to assemble today with brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank you for the week that you've blessed us with, that you brought us through. And God, we pray that you'll get us through next week, whatever might come our way. God, we fall before you this morning in our hearts and minds, thanking you and exalting you in our spirit. Lord, loving you and giving you all the praise and glory for the things you've done for us. Lord, we're not even our own. If we're born again, we've been bought with a price, and you paid that price on Calvary's cross. And God, we just ask you now to help us live that each and every day. God, I know we're still in a fleshly body. We fail you sometimes, Lord, in this walk. But God, there's not another sacrifice that would ever have to be made for that sin that I might commit tomorrow. You committed yourself to the sacrifice for once and for all. And there's never be another shed blood for sin because you paid the supreme price for our sins. You became sin on the cross for us. You took our place on that cross. And God, we thank you for that this day. Lord, now help us, Lord, in our hearts to live closer to you, to walk with you in the spirit and in truth each and every day, and to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, we ask you this morning to visit us today. Bless the choir as they sing. Lord, fall down upon us through your spirit today. Let us feel your presence, Lord. Let you move among your people. God, let there be a revival to start this morning, Lord, in this building today. For all that are here, Lord, we need a closer walk with you. We need, Lord, for to be praying and seeking your face more and more each and every day. And God, I thank you. God, I give you the praise and glory. Lord, I have nothing but you that's worthy of anything, and you're worth it all. Lord, you're worth all the creation. You're worth all the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun. God, you're worth more than any of these because you are the great God. You're a great Savior. You're a great salvation. And we uplift your name this morning. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Oh. he been good to you? Let's all stand. Let's just all stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Christina and I were talking just before the service, and she has the appointment coming up and on Tuesday that they've been waiting for months for the rheumatologist. But when I saw that about I am healed, I saw her stand. God's been good to all of us, hasn't he? Let's just raise our hands together. Will you say that with me? God, you have been so good to me. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. We didn't come to ask anything right now, but just to praise you. You've been good to us. Salvation, Lord, healing, your presence, encouragement. Lord, you've given us blessings beyond no way we could ever thank you for all just the physical blessings of family. Thank you for this church, and thank you for all you've done for us here. And Lord, together as a body of believers, and God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would bless each and everyone in the media audience. And I pray, God, they have experienced and felt the presence of God as we have here in the auditorium. And Lord, we do thank you and we give you praise today for all that you've done for us. And we glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here. We are so blessed around here. We have a wonderful group of people. I go and preach some places, and the youngest person there is probably 50. And we're so blessed. God is so good to us. I watch the children when they go out, and when we have the youth choirs, and then our vacation Bible school and our WANA program. I didn't mean to send you out. Did they miss something? Is it time for them to go out? Okay. Amen. I wasn't trying to get you to leave. I was just complimenting you. Praise God. I think there's more of us, more of them than there is of us. Thank God for the children this morning and for all the workers who are going out with them today. Amen. Wow. What a great crowd. Amen. We've got a big church coming on. Isn't this a blessing from heaven? We're so thankful. I didn't mean for them to go out. I'm sorry. Because we got a baby dedication right now. I could have stopped them, maybe. I don't know that I could have. But let's do this. Lane, if you and Chris and will come, and Allie, and the whole family, and grandparents, come up. This morning, we're going to dedicate Allie to the Lord, and we're so thankful for this precious family. Did any of them go out that need to be in here, Chris? I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to dismiss them. I was just talking about how pretty they were. Amen. All right. Any of the grandparents, you come up and be with us, and we're glad to have you. Amen. What a blessing. Let's thank the Lord for this precious family here this morning. We are so blessed. Amen. I am so thankful. Amen. Amen. And y'all come right on up. And Lane and Chris, if y'all come, help folks up. Amen. We're blessed. God's so good to us. This is a precious family. And we appreciate Lane's family being here this morning, as well as Chris's family. And we're just blessed. If y'all want to come around on some on this side, Lane and Chris, if y'all come stand with me right here. Come on, stand right now. But we're just blessed. Can they see Franny Kate? Okay, there you go. Amen. I'm so thankful. I have watched these people I've been here almost 30 years to grow. And what a blessing. And then Lane got to dating Chris. And we had to check him out real good, didn't we, Barry? Joe Barry. Amen. But he's a wonderful young man. He's one of our deacons, and he serves the Lord. And of course, you know from the drama for the last 2 years. And Chris is wonderful. And she is a full-time mom, full-time nurse, but they love the Lord. And they're just about always here in the services through the week, the Awanas and everything else. I'm just so blessed. The precedent of what we're doing is in the Old Testament, the story of Hannah. She didn't have a child, and she was praying in the temple, and she was weeping, sobbing, and she was asking God for a baby. And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll honor you by giving him back to you. And so she did that. She brought him to the temple, and she gave him to the Lord. And he grew up and was a great man of God. We're thankful for that. And this is our honor. We don't baptize infants. We believe in believer's baptism. When they get saved, we baptize them. But this is always a real joy for me to be able to dedicate children to the Lord. And if you come a little bit closer, amen. And Franny Kate, we all know Franny Kate. She left. There she is back there with Granny. Amen. And but I want to tell you, Tim's told it, but I want to tell it again. In the Easter drama, the scene where they come running up and say, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. She did that this year. And she said something to this effect, I've been waiting all my life to do that. And you did a great job. It was fantastic. Amen. And Lane and Chris, I know you love the Lord and we love you. But as you dedicate Allie today, do you also rededicate yourself to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Will you be a godly example? And will you pray for their salvation as you raise them and teach them to love Him and trust Him? If you will, say we will. And church, it's a blessing. I don't know what people do without a church family. Our daughter, oldest daughter, Christy, died. We were very active in Calvary Baptist Church, and those people rallied around us and loved us. And it's a hard thing. And I said, I don't know what people do without a church family, but you have a wonderful church family, and you're a part of it. But church, do you once again also rededicate yourself to live for the Lord? And will you love Allie, and will you love this family, and will you pray for them, and will you be a godly example, and will you stay true to the Bible and teach the Word of God that they might grow up, that she might grow up and be saved and have a good Bible-believing church to grow up in, and one day she'll trust Christ as her Savior? If you will as a church, say we will. All right, let me see if I can get the baby.
It's okay if she wakes
Amen.
Up.
God bless it. Amen. I'm not Mama. Mama's right here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this precious child. Lord, she's so precious, a great treasure. Great treasure. And Lord, we thank you for her. And Lord, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would put a hedge around her, help her to grow, help her to be blessed. And Lord, we pray that you'd keep her from sin. Lord, I thank you for Mom and Dad and for the family, the grandparents, the great-grandparents. And Lord, what an honor to have them all here today. Lord, do bless her now. Keep her safe. I pray, our Father, that the Word of God will find lodging in her heart. And one day she will trust Jesus as her Savior. And Lord, it would be a great joy if you'd allow me to have the privilege one day to baptize her because she's trusted Jesus as her Savior. And Lord, we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Know you're a blessing. You're a doll baby. Amen. I woke you up. Amen. Most of the time I preach and she sleeps. She thought I was fixing to preach. Amen. But what a blessing. Amen. And we have for the family, this is something you can put in her room, her certificate. And then we have a beautiful Bible. Got her name on it right there. That's yours. That's your Bible. I think she would take it. Amen. God bless you. Let's thank the Lord for this precious family this morning. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Truly thank you for being here. God bless you, Brother Barry. Brother Joe Barry. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Did you get pictures? Everybody got pictures? God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. Let's see. Brother Tim, I'm going to do what now? Okay. Brother Tim, you come if you will and go ahead and share announcements and then do the offering. And Miss Angie Alt's going to come and sing during the offering.
Let's see. They're going to do a few pictures over there too. So that's quite fine. It's a big moment, isn't it? You know, I was remembering, from the Easter drama things, I said this year we came in the first night of Easter drama practice. In the beginning of practice, if you've never been, you need to come. You start out, and it seems like nobody's there, and by the end, you have 100 there nearabout. But Adrian and Franny Kate were running around and getting ready, and I said, you know what? I think pretty soon we're going to be able to turn it over to Adrian and Franny Kate. They can run it. They've got it under control. But Miss Angie's going to come sing it this time, and I've got several, when we do the offering here, I'll give y'all just a minute, but we'll get got several requests and things we need to mention. Brother Wayne Wall was at the ball field this morning in Dunn, had a great reception. So young man trust Christ as Savior where he's preaching there. And when we pray this morning, we want to remember Brother Louis Padilla is down in Florida with a family member that he's witnessing to today. He went all the way down there because the family member is getting out of the hospital and being going to be at home today. A family asked he'd come and talk to him about Jesus. So he made the trip to Florida to do that. And so be praying for him. And Brother Tim, if you guys and the ushers will come on down, and I appreciate Brother Tim being here. He was possibly preaching somewhere himself this morning, but he's been doing a great job getting our ushers coming down and organized, and we're stepping things up a little bit there, and we really appreciate what y'all have been doing. I do have a number of folks that were asked to be prayed for this morning. Miss Judy's got a cataract surgery. Miss Judy Johnson, she's a little bit concerned about on Tuesday. And Brother Rob Langdon Jr., it'd be the third, wouldn't it, is up in New York, but he's very young for this, sounded to me like, but he's got the shingles, so y'all be praying for him. And I know that's a difficult thing no matter when. And Miss Nina Franks, Miss Katrina's mom, there's having a heart problems. They're trying to get things worked out. And some of you know the Down East boys. Ricky Carden's dad is not doing real well, and so I know he'd appreciate your prayer. And then wanted to mention to continue to pray for the Holland family. You probably saw that on the phone tree. Chris Romita, the pastor of Crossroads Baptist there, his mother-in-law did go to heaven last week, so be praying for that family. I know they'd appreciate that. And I do want to welcome another guest this morning. It's good to see John Barber here. John and Jennifer, if y'all know the story, you know, I was thinking about when they were singing that song, God is so good, it could have went the other way. John's had a long road after that car accident, but I was thinking back to the morning we first found out he'd been in a very severe car accident. I was thinking, boy, it could have went another direction real quickly after talking with him about how tragic that accident was. And so we're very thankful you're here, and we're glad that God saw fit to let him continue. And I'm glad for that. I know his family is, but we're glad you're here today, Brother John. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Miss Angie will sing while we take the offering. Father God, I thank you for this day and how you are so good to us and how we can worship you with that. And just pray that you will be with these folks that stand in need this morning for the Holland family. They're thanking God that she's in heaven, but I know it's tough on her husband and her family. And God, I pray you be with them. I pray you be with the Down East Boys singers there as they've had to cancel some things due to this. And pray that you just be with Miss Nina and Miss Judy with that coming up. Thank you for the praise from Brother Wayne at the ball field, God. And then I pray for Rob up in New York that you'll be with him and help that not be too long of a ordeal. I pray particularly for Brother Luis, and God, you've had his hand on him. The testimony he shared just a week ago or so about the young lady that trusted Christ in the hospital there, that they said wouldn't even talk to anybody about God and was an atheist, and yet God allowed Brother Luis to talk to her, and now she wants a Bible and she's gotten saved. And God, we're praying that you'll just keep working in that young lady's life, just 40-something years old on hospice. God, I pray that you would maybe even change the circumstances of her life here on earth. But thank you that you've given her a home in heaven to look forward to. I pray that Brother Luis will be able to share that same truth of the gospel and help him be able to share Jesus with him, and him see it. And God, the Holy Spirit, open their eyes to come to know you. Thank you for this time of giving that we can help support all the ministries of the church. In your name we pray. Amen.
Have looked toward the heavens, watching and listening for the trumpet to sound. We're all kind of homesick, we're anxiously waiting for that glorious morning when we rise from soldier, hold on a few more
Thank you, Miss Angie. What a blessing. Amen. It won't be long. Not going to be long before he comes. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians this morning. And it is good to see John. Been since October. And I thank the Lord that he's back. And he's driving. And I kind of heard through the grapevine that went at the doctor. And the doctor said he could start by to drive. And he drove home. And some of the family, won't name who, were pretty nervous. And I told him, I said, you should have told her, I really have a lead foot. He's got metal all in his foot and everything, but it's a blessing to see him, to thank God for the faithfulness of that family and how God has taken care of them. And I'm so thankful for you being here. It's good to see Anthony and Laura and her mom here today and all the rest of you. It's just glad that you're in the house of the Lord and thank God for being here. We've had a good week, seems like forever since last Sunday for me and Regina. Brother Brad went with me Monday and Tuesday and drove me back and forth to Henderson. We went back and forth every night, and I preached on Monday night. They had a guest singer, and then Tuesday night when we went back, he'd asked Brad to sing, and we had a tremendous service. I mean, God really moved in, and it was just a real blessing. And Pastor said it's one of the best services they've ever had at the church, and I've been going there almost 40 years. But I was so blessed. And then we were here Wednesday morning and drove to Pinnacle, and I preached at Gospel Baptist Church Wednesday through Friday, and we had tremendous services there. And Friday night was really special. God met with us. And the preacher's wife, we had gone out to eat supper together, and we ate too much. And so when we got in the church, I went by to say hey to her and shake hands with other people. And she said, Brother Billy, just preach 15 minutes tonight. I laughed at her and told her about how Regina likes short sermons. And but anyhow, when I got to preaching, it kind of God really got in it and it went longer. And after service over, I said, Barbara, I preached 15 minutes three times. And so, but anyhow, I won't do that this morning. I'm trying to learn how to get us off on through the radio. You have your Bible open. Be back in the evening service tonight. we're going to be reading Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. I know some of you are aware of the fact that the Bible was read in Washington, D.C. this past week, and we thank the Lord for that. And I saw some posts where people have been a little critical about that. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I don't care under what circumstances read, I believe it will not return void. And we honored the Word of God in reading it in the nation's capital, and I thank God for that. But tonight, we're going to deal with Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians. We're going to read it together. And so you come, three of Paul's epistles. These were churches in Galatia, and then one in Philippi, and one in Ephesus. And Paul wrote letters to the believers, and they read them publicly. And now we're going to do the same thing. You think about that. All these years later, reading the Bible in our capital, we challenged everybody, 66 and 26, read through the Bible. And if you've not been doing that, start right now and start reading the Word of God. Brother Tim back here, he's been listening to it. He's been so sick sometimes, he just eyes wouldn't focus and all. He's been listening to it. And he's already gone through the Bible reading and listening this year and starting back through. So you got time to go through the Word of God. But this week I was reading through these books just to, you know, just once again to get it in my mind and heart. And so as I was reading the book of Galatians, the Lord spoke to me during the week about sharing something with you here that I have shared maybe before. But it's always been one of my favorite little phrases in the Bible. And I want you to look in the book of Galatians. So look at chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading. Well, let me tell you what. We won't take time to read all of that. So let's just come down to chapter number 2. Let's come down to chapter number 2. Notice what it says in verse number 4. Paul is writing to them about his call and how God called him. He was not taught the gospel. He went out into the wilderness and God the Holy Ghost taught him. He did go back to Jerusalem after a period of time, after 14 years, and conferred with them, made sure he was doing right, and God did bless. But he's mentioning some things that happened in that circumstance. So here's, we pick up kind of in the middle of the story and look at verse 4. But that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. He's saying in this gathering of the Christian leaders in and around Jerusalem, there were some false brethren that came in. Can you imagine that? Came in unawares, and they were not there to be a part. They were not there. They were there to bring Paul into bondage and get them back under the law, and that they had to practice that. But look at verse 5. To whom we gave space by subjection, no. In other words, they didn't listen to these false brethren. They didn't yield to them. They didn't obey them. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. That little phrase has always just kind of amused me a little bit. He's talking about these false brethren and some others. And he said, they seem to be somewhat, but in conference they added nothing to me. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, our Father, for the choir. Lord, what a blessing and touch on Brother Jeff and the choir this morning. And Lord, how they blessed us. Lord, obeying you and doing what you want to do in the congregational singing. Lord, and then Miss Angie. Lord, always such a blessing and the touch of God on her. Thank you, our Father, for the baby dedication, little Allie, this morning and their whole family. And God, I'm sure thankful, Lord, that you've blessed them and blessed us with them here in this church. And I pray now, God, the Holy Spirit of God would breathe on me. Lord, we're here. It may be the last service that any of us get to be together. But Lord, I pray, God, for the anointing of God, the blessing of God. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I'm rejoicing already. Lord, Sunday school hour was awesome. And Lord, Brother Barry, and Lord, just to be around God's people, get to say hey to a few friends personally in the church this morning, visitors and guests. But God, we thank you for that. Lord, I confess before you this morning, there's no good thing in me. And I pray the dear Holy Ghost of God would breathe this morning once again and help me. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. He said there were some people who seemed to be somewhat, somewhat. I'm thinking now about a lot of things that are that way. Brother Terry's back here at the back, some of these guys. And Jimmy's, I told him Wednesday morning, that Brother Terry, that Jimmy's doing all my fishing. He's fishing with two rods. And typical Jimmy, he came up after me and he said, my rod caught about 20, yours didn't catch nothing. But anyway, I love old fishing baits. And I collect them and been doing it over the years. And in my little office at the house, I've got an old rod and reel with black line on it, old cloth line, braided line from years and days gone by. It's, and you can tell how old that line is on that little old rod. But I've got what's called a Creek Chub Engine Minnow. It's a wooden bait, got glass eyes on it, and I fished the thing to death. It's got teeth marked on it, hook marks on it, but it's made out of wood. And then later on, they began to outsource and everything to China. And so now they make them in plastic. They have painted eyes and not glass eyes. And I, when they started making them, I couldn't find the old wooden ones. I'd buy some of them. And if you look at them, you know, they look pretty much alike. Matter of fact, the modern day one maybe looks a little better. It may look even a little more natural. But I found out it don't fish the same. It didn't float in the water right. It didn't make the right kind of noise with the propeller. And not only did I not like it, I found the fish didn't like it as well either. Looking at them, it seems to be somewhat. It seems to be like the original, but it's not. And then I get to thinking about so many other things. When I worked in the cotton mill several years ago, I eventually was promoted. When I graduated from high school, I was promoted to be a foreman over the cutting department. And we were all the time having staff meetings and things. And they brought us in one day for a big staff meeting of all the foremen and supervisors and such as that. And our plant manager, Mr. Mason, I hadn't even thought about that. Linwood, he has relatives up there. But Mr. Mason, the plant director, president, whatever, he had us all in a big conference room. And he laid out two towels on a table. I mean, real thick, plush-looking towels, bath towels. And he said, does anybody know what these are? Well, I was in the cutting and packing and shipping department. I said, that's our 5052 fine arts towel. And he said, exactly right. He said, look at them. You see any difference in them? And I said, we all agreed. They just look like two towels. He reached under and pulled out two more, and he laid them on top of those. One looked just like the one under the bottom, like the original one. The other one was faded and raggedy. And he said, here's the difference. This one is actually our 5052 fine arts towel. This one was made in China. The one I showed you earlier looked just like it. But this one's been washed 15 times, and it wouldn't hold up under the washing. And so our towel, after 15 washing, looked just like it did when it was bought. This one over here looked just like it. It seemed to be somewhat, but in conference, he said, they added nothing to me. They look alike. You can't hardly tell them apart, but there's a lot of difference. For instance, in the Christian realm, there are some who seem to be somewhat, but they're lost. They've never been born again. They may have gotten baptized. They may be a member of a church. They may tote a King James Bible. They may be in every service. They come into special services. They're friendly. They come to all the socials. They enjoy the singing, may even enjoy the preaching, but they are lost. They've never been saved. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is. Remember on the cross when Christ died, there were two people, one on one side and one on the other. Both of them were thieves and guilty of death. One of them said, if thou be the Christ, come down off the cross, save yourself and us. The other one rebuked him and said, don't you understand? We're dying justly. We are guilty sinners. He's acknowledged the fact he's a sinner. And he said, but this man had done nothing amiss. He's not committed a sin. He's absolutely sinless. And he was. Pilate had said, I find no fault in him. And even Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Jesus Christ was perfect, sinless. And so the thief on one side cries out to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And God saved him. Now looking at those two men on the cross, they look almost alike. They have both been guilty. They're both thieves or whatever. And they were both dying. One of them trusted Christ. And one of them didn't. But they still look pretty much the same. One of them was going to heaven or going to paradise. One of them would be plunged in hell in a matter of moments. Both of them were close to Christ, close proximity, you know, close to him. Both of them actually prayed. One of them said, if you're the Christ, come down off the cross and save us. He prayed, but he was lost. He was close to Christ. He was like in the church, around God's people. He may have ever read the Bible, but he's going to die and go to hell. Why? Well, the book of Hebrews said this, the promise left to them had no effect on them because it was not mixed with faith. You have to believe. Brother Barry emphasized that this morning. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care if you decided you want to join church or get baptized or whatever, you're lost. You may seem to be somewhat. You may walk around with a Bible. You may attend this church. I may have baptized you myself. But nobody's going to heaven because they got baptized. Nobody's going to heaven because they read the Bible or even go to church. You go to heaven if you have Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. And he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You don't get saved except by Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you have to have a personal encounter with him. You have to be born again. You've got to believe on him and trust Christ. There are some in the church house that seem to be somewhat. They look just like every other person, got a Bible. They talk religious talk, but they're lost because they've never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no real deep settled peace in their heart that they're going to go to heaven when they die. If you're that way this morning in the media audience or in this building, I would beg you be reconciled to God. Right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But there are some in the church who are not only lost, but there are some who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul talked about that in the book of Philippians. And he said to them that they were enemies in chapter 3, enemies of the cross of Christ. And he goes on and said there were many enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, if you were the devil and you wanted to stop the work of Christ in the church, would you have people to go down and join the local bar, or would you have them to infiltrate the church? Well, I'd have them to get inside the church somehow to cause trouble, to cause confusion, to cause havoc in the church, to breed doubt and disunity in the church. Well, the devil's smarter than I am, and he's smarter than you are too. The Lord gave parables about that. He talked about a man sowing good seed in his field, and during the night the enemy came and sowed tares. What's a tare? It's a seed. It looked very much like the seed that was sown. And when it came up, the foliage on it, they both looked the same. They looked very much alike. But the servants came and said, Master, during the night the enemy sowed, and now should we pull up the tares? He said, no, let them grow together. And he said, but at the judgment, the truth will be known at the harvest. He said, we'll get rid of them. There are in everybody's church across this country enemies of the cross of Christ. And you and I, the Bible says, as Paul wrote, he said, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in. He knew that. He knew they were there already and that they would begin to try to take hold. And know this, that in everybody's church, there are those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are some who seem to be somewhat, but they're lost. There are some who seem to be somewhat, but they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And then there are some who seem to be somewhat, but they are backslidden. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the backslider shall be filled in heart with his own ways. Those who have been saved by the grace of God, they claim Christ to be their Lord and their Savior, but at some point in time, they begin to take hold of their own life. They don't follow his leadership or even all of his bands. They begin maybe perhaps to, they feel like things are tight financially, and so they begin to stop giving to the Lord and so on. And they get a little slack in their attendance. They start missing services and not being faithful to the things of God. But something happens to them not only outwardly, but something happens on the inside inwardly. And when you disobey God and you begin to live going your own way, you lose your joy and you lose your peace. There's something missing on the inside. You don't have that joy you used to have. You don't have the peace you used to have. There are times that you, if all the noise is going on, the music's loud, you may seem all right. But when that goes away and you're right by yourself, you know in your heart that you're not right with God. You're out of fellowship with Him. You're not excited about the things of God. You don't relish the Word of God. You don't read the Word of God. You don't love to be around the house of God. And matter of fact, you try to back away from it, because if you get around it, you get under conviction. I'm thankful for your presence here today, and I'm glad you're here. The truth of the matter is there's some in this building who are saved, but in heart, you're far away from here. Your mind, your heart's not where it used to be. You're not excited about the things of God. You don't feel the joy you used to have in serving Jesus. You seem to be somewhat, but you're backslid. Then there's some who are deceived. He says to some people in the church at Corinth that they were not wise because they compared themselves among themselves. They justified their lifestyle. They say, I'm as good as anybody else in Benson Grove. I'm fine. I'm all right. But the truth of the matter is they were not wise. You can compare yourself to me and you'll do good. You compare yourself to people in this church and you may be an outstanding Christian, dedicated and sold out to God. But if you compare your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, what a difference it makes. Through the week, as I was praying and studying about this service and about the services where I was preaching, I was wanting God to give me power, wanting God to bless. And through the week, I read a scripture. I can't even recall it right now, but it was like a dagger in my heart. But it simply said this. In the Old Testament, I've been reading in Chronicles, and he set his heart to seek the Lord, and God blessed him. It's not us asking God for so many things as it is our seeking him, not going our own way, but obeying Christ. But here's the bottom line. Paul said, of these who seem to be somewhat, they added nothing to me. Not only did they not add restrictions or requirements, but he didn't benefit from being around them. They were not used of God, because some were lost. They were false brethren. Some were lost, seemed to be somewhat, but they were lost. There were some who were enemies of the cross of Christ, and they didn't add anything to him. He didn't benefit from being around them. But then there were some who were saved, but they were backslid, but they added nothing to him. And the first time I went through this and studied this, I shuddered. Here's a man who's lost and acting like a Christian. Here's a man who's an enemy and acting like a Christian. And here is a Christian who's cold and indifferent and backslid, but the results of their life are all the same. Live your life and don't have any impact on anybody else. Don't lead anybody to Christ. You don't encourage the believers, because you seem to be somewhat, but backslid. I wonder this morning, are you pictured in any of those? Do you seem to be somewhat? You got a Bible, King James Bible, by the way. You attend church. You love the singing, love the choir, even like preaching every now and then. But you're not saved. You don't have that peace and assurance of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost comes in our heart crying, Abba, Father. We have the witness of the Spirit within ourselves, the Bible says. And you know that you're not saved. You know there's something not right. Maybe it is that you too are false brethren. But that's not, doesn't mean you can't get saved, because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Lost man's lost. But you could trust Christ. Paul was a great enemy of Christians, great enemy of the church. He destroyed the church. I believe he killed Christians. More than that, I believe he dismembered Christians. I believe he cut them up. And there's some vast passages of scripture that make me think that. I believe that's the one thing that Paul couldn't get away from. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God, but I am chiefest of sinners. He remembered what he did when he was lost. But my dear friend, you can trust Christ and be saved. And here's the good news. He said, as did Asa and some others in the Old Testament, they set their heart to seek the Lord. They began to get rid of the idols. You don't have any in your house, maybe, but you got them in your heart. Get rid of those idols. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And the Bible said God did bless and prosper him. Victories in battle and prosperous in the land with silver and gold and everything else. You can get saved. You can get right with God. You can have a real revival this morning in your heart if you would but turn to him and seek him with all of your heart. Because we don't, we have no effect on people. Let's bow together for prayer. For our friends in the media audience, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus loves you and he died for you. You may have been a church member many years. You may have been baptized, but way down in the depths of your heart, you know that you're not saved. I want you to know this morning that he's willing and able to save you to the uttermost. If you but call on him today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's by faith. You say, well, Brother Billy, I don't feel anything. I don't feel it. Is there a want to in your heart? Is a desire in your heart to be saved? The Bible says the lost man seeketh not after things of God. They don't understand anything. Dead men. But if you awaken in your spirit this morning and there's a desire in your heart to know for sure that you're saved, be assured that's the Holy Ghost. He wants to save you. He wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. Will you call on him now? Will you trust him right now? Don't wait. Don't wait till we extend the invitation further. Right now, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure you're saved, it's between you and him anyway. Cry out to him. Say, oh, Lord God, I am a sinner. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know so salvation. He said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You can know it. Call on him right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing is calling. If you'll believe on him and call upon the name of the Lord, I believe he'll save you. I know he'll save you this morning if you do it from the depths of your heart, turning from your sin and receiving the Savior. Do it now. My dear friend, we need to examine our lives to see whether or not we are false brethren or enemies of the cross of Christ. Are we real and genuine? And I pray God the Holy Ghost would work in hearts in that respect. But I would say probably the larger number of people in this building and in the media audience may fall in that last category. If you're not right with the Lord, if you've lost your peace, your joy, your excitement about serving him, if you're not a faithful witness for the Lord, if you don't have a right relationship with him, let's stop asking him for things. Let's seek him with all of our heart. Lord Jesus, this morning, as the choir sang, oh, what a blessing. Lord, I'm glad I saw people standing and people sitting, and some raised their hand, but some didn't, but I saw it in their face. They were worshiping you. They were thanking you. They were loving you. Lord, that's the key. The key to victorious Christian living, the key to effective witness, is our closeness to the Savior. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, that's even the great commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Lord, if we'll do that, everything else will fall in place. And somebody that's not where they ought to be, I pray God the Holy Ghost this morning would deal with them, that they would want to be right, have a personal revival this morning. Lord, speak to hearts. Help them to be obedient. Turn in their heart to you. Let's stand together, friends, if you will, all over the building with our heads bowed for another moment. Brother LaVon, if you will, I want you to sing a verse of a song for us. Tim will be down near the front. I'm right here. If you're not saved, first of all, maybe you've already prayed that prayer. Maybe you already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come? Let us rejoice with you. Let us know that you got saved. If you want to be saved and you're not sure that you know what to do, please come. Let somebody help you. We'll find some ladies to pray with the ladies, men to pray with the men. Maybe here this morning you're saved, but you want to just get closer to the Lord. If you want to seek the Lord with all of your heart, love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, I find it necessary quite often myself to bow before Him and present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Ask Him to cleanse me, to fill me and use me for His glory. Maybe you feel led to do that. I invite you now to make your way to the altar, whatever the need is. I always like to give you opportunity to come gather around the altar. You can do it right where you are. You certainly can. But to me personally, it seems to be a more definitive and settling thing when I can bow before Him, and we invite you to do that. There's some here already. Brother LaVon's going to sing, invite you to come right now. Come on right now, will you? Trust Him as your personal only hope of heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come and surrender and yield like the prodigal did. Come back home to the Lord. Let Him fill you and use you.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.